Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Greg's Garage Pod with Coach Jason Pridmore, presented by Bike911.com. That's right, Bike911.com. If you need some legal advice, go check out Alex Asante. He's a motorcycle rider, enthusiast. He'll be able to help you out. I mean, racing season has started, so maybe you need a contract. I don't know. Go check him out. Well, welcome to the podcast, everybody. And want to let you know that Jason Pridmore's not here. He's in Spain. He's riding motorcycles. He's got 4 days of track day. So pinch hitting for Pridmore is, unfortunately, my older brother, Jeff White. Hello, Jeff.
All right. Thanks for having me back. This is a real honor. I appreciate it.
Oh, shut up. How you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. I'm just trying to heal up from my incident, but from hero to zero pretty quick. You know how that can go.
Where were you? What happened?
Chuckwalla, getting the first race going out there. I qualified on pole, and I was last off the start going into the turn one. I think I was last going into turn
one.
What
happened? Did you like put it in third gear and try to start in third gear? Like, why would you? Why?
No, because I rolled up kind of last to the starting grid, and she already had the board sideways, and I was just getting the revs up and trying to get the clutch in position, and then all of a sudden she dropped the board. Everybody went. I was like, oh, my goodness. So I probably was last into turn one and then just kind of took my time a little bit. And then I think I just got a little anxious in the back straight and just went in a little too hot and lost the front. And off into the desert I go. Lesson learned. So a few broken ribs and shoulder and hit my head a little bit. But I'm okay. I'll be back.
Mm-hmm. And the bike?
The bike is being diagnosed. It's not too bad. But we'll be ready to go probably for next season. We got another round, I think, in 2 weeks, April 8th, I think it is. So we'll sit out that one and then just come back for the full rounds of Chucky for next year.
And that's one of those BMWs, right?
That's correct. M1000.
Okay. Well, in this podcast, we're going to talk about some MotoGP, Portimao. We're going to talk a little bit about World Superbike Catalunya. Don't worry, Pridmore's got some good stories to tell us next week when he has time. Trying to coordinate through Europe and the fact he's got to get up early and go do 4 days at Aragon is a big deal. We got some Mariah news for you. Plus, we have Supercross stuff. So if you'd like to support the channel, it's patreon.com/Greg's Garage TV. I'm not going to promise you that we got some special content coming your way because we don't. But if you just like to support the channel, we definitely appreciate it. So let's jump right into our news presented by Arai.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm curious, Jeff, is the music super loud or are you hearing me faded in, faded out?
It is pretty loud. Like JP said last week, it's very loud.
Dang, man. Anyway, yeah. All right, ignore the volume on your end because the listener's not hearing it. But
got you.
Hey, Jeff, did you know that avoiding impact energy intrusion by sliding or glancing off surfaces and obstacles is a key role of the helmet shell? Requiring a strong, smooth shell. For this purpose, Arai handcrafts each shell to be as strong and light as possible with a high fiber-to-resin ratio of proprietary super fiber and Z resins. However, this process leaves a rough surface, which requires many steps to prepare it for a beautifully smooth finish without adding excess weight. Even though invisible, these details improve protection. That's Arai's obsession. Check out ArayAmericas.com. Pick what you like. Head down to your local dealer. For fitment, grab yourself a lid. ArayAmericas.com.
Oh, yeah. Personally tested.
Yeah.
Personally tested, yes.
Arai saved your noodle at Chuckwalla just a couple of days ago.
It did. Guy. Fantastic. Yes, sir.
Well, look, Moto America news. I think it's a little bit of a shock. I think the biggest news is that Stock 1000 defending champion Hayden Gillum, who won it on a Suzuki, is going to be racing the Real Steel Motorsports Honda CBR 1000 RR-R Fireblade SP in the class next year. Thoughts on your switch by Hayden from Suzuki to Honda?
Pretty exciting. I know that Honda's a great bike, and I think he has some U.S. factory support, I think, behind him. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's kind of what
Yeah.
Honda's going to support him a little bit. I'm not sure by what the support is necessarily, but we'll find out in the coming days. But the biggest news is, and I'm not sure we covered it, but American Honda posted some insane number.
Crazy. Like, yeah.
$4 million worth of contingency across the board. I mean, just in your time out in California, like, who else are you hearing that's going to be on a Honda? There's other teams, other riders, right, that are coming in?
As far as I know.
You don't know if you can say anything.
Yeah, I don't know if I can say anything. One of my...
Don't be specifics, but you know for sure somebody else is coming in.
Somebody else is in a Honda with pink Crocs. Yes.
With pink Crocs. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this is the funny thing, dude. I know that nobody loves me talking about archery, but I'm going to anyway. So in archery, what happens with contingency is that these companies use contingency as a way to supplement their pro shooters. So they don't pay their pro shooters decent money.
Okay.
What they do is they use it as an incentive, right? But to me, it's an improper way to use contingency. You're using contingency to sell bikes.
Correct.
And the reality is, I don't think we had a single CBR 1000 RR last year, maybe one. And now you're going to have multiple bikes showing up, but also you're going to have that contingency that's going to bleed down into the region level. That's going to allow people now to buy that CBR 1000. And I think that's a good plan. And
it's a great plan.
Dude, the fact you get the national champ on it.
Right. And that bike will be up front. We know that bike will be up front. Yeah.
Because Hayden's up front. So,
yes.
And he's already ridden it. He's already said the thing's a weapon. And I know that's a lot of chit chatter, but every time I've ridden a Honda 1000, the one thing of note is smooth power delivery and how good it handles. Mm. So as long as the power is close, I mean, is it going to be close to a BMW? No. You know, is it close to a ZX10? I don't know.
Right.
But Hayden Gillum can outride the power. So speaking of BMWs and Stock 1000, Andrew Lee announced his plans for Stock 1000. The two-time is back in the class and he's on a BMW. You're out of Chucky. What do you know about Andrew's plans that he announced yesterday or day before?
I know that he really likes the BMW. He feels comfortable on it already. And I think he'll be in that lead group also this season. He really likes it a lot. He compared it to the Kawasaki. He said it was kind of along those lines because we know Andrew's been on the Kawasaki for a while. So it's,
well, he's also a taller rider too. Is the BMW, just from your experience, has it got more room? I haven't really ridden a new M1000.
M1000 fits me perfectly. Yeah, it does. It does. Feels really good. Yeah. I feel comfortable on the bike and I don't feel
How pretty does it look when it's tumbling through the weeds, Jeff? Is it nice when you're smashing, breaking ribs?
Well, there wasn't really any weeds. It was like, I'd say sand in my gloves.
More sandy.
Yeah, it wasn't too many weeds out there.
Mm-hmm.
I hid behind a cactus. I just ran behind a cactus so I could watch the race from the, you know.
How many laps did you make it?
Next question. Half a lap. Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, bud. 2023 Superbike Cup champ Nolan Lampkin.
Nolan.
He got a non-endemic sponsor to come on board. In other words, that's a non-industry. Are you clicking a pen or something, you moron?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Non-industry related sponsor, which is Indiana. So in Indiana, which is basically like, what do you call it? The tourism type stuff. They're going to be his title partner for the year. How good is that stuff,
man?
Getting a non-endemic in there. And I know that Nolan's been working on it for over a year to get basically the state of Indiana, the whole dang state's going to be sponsoring him.
Wow. But we don't race any motorcycles at Indy this year, huh? Nothing.
No, but they're still doing it because I think what he's doing is he's kind of pitched it in a way where he's going to be like kind of the motorcycle liaison, be motorcycle friendly. And Indiana does have some really nice places to ride.
Mm.
So they want to, using the support for him, get the word out basically about how Indiana rides. So, you know, again, a lot of racers don't understand this, but it is something that you look at. Make sure you get your street license. You know, I know a lot of people who race will be like, I don't ride on the street, but your job is to sell helmets that get on the street, leathers that get on the street, motorcycles that are on the street. So if you can, get your street license because Nolan's got a street license so he can help promote riding in Indiana through Moto America and through his efforts. And I think it's great.
That's fantastic, being the outside sponsor and him being like a liaison for that tourism is really cool. That's really cool. Who knows where that could wind up going or how that could pan out for him or the Indiana itself.
Well, yeah, because especially if he comes up with some creative ideas on how to really continue that sponsorship down the road, then it's important for other people in the paddock to really knock on Nolan's door and say, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? And then how do we do it?
Good point. Yeah. About how to get that outside sponsorship type of thing too. Yeah.
Because the first thing is obviously just getting a contact and then reaching out that contact and getting them interested. So, you know, maybe in the future episodes, we'll have Nolan on specifically to talk about the partnership deal and how he got it done, and allow some other people to get some inside, because what we find too much, obviously, is, you know, I mean, Jeff, what would you give up to run a Dunlop sticker? What, like, would you, half a free tire, 10% off?
Maybe 20% off. I run Dunlop stickers anyway, so yeah. I pay to run the Dunlop sticker. I pay them to run the Dunlop sticker.
Any big announcements you want to make about you racing in Moto America or sponsoring a team or anything like that?
Yet? No. Anything? No, nothing? I'm good. I have nothing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just checking.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, that's our news presented by Arai. Anything I missed that you want to talk about?
No, I think you're good.
Okay.
Sounds great.
All right, so let's get into MotoGP, because they were in Portugal at Portimão over the weekend, and let's talk about the premier class first, which is MotoGP. In the sprint race, it was Maverick Vinales who ends up running away with victory by a second over Marc Marquez and Jorge Martin. Pecco Bagnaia was fourth. He had the early lead, made a mistake going down a hill, swapped it, kind of slotted back in, still finished fourth. Jack Miller was fifth, Bastianini in sixth, Pedro Acosta, who is becoming more impressive every time he turns a lap, in seventh, over Aleix Espargaró, Quartararo, the first year Yamaha's in ninth, Raul Fernandez from Trackhouse in 10th place, Bezzecchi, Oliveira, the hometown boy, in 12th, Alex Marquez, Mir, and Fernandez. In the race itself, like the featured length race, that was a tale completely different. Jorge Martin gets out to the lead early, controls the pace. Bastianini was in second. He was pushing super hard with Maverick Vinales, and then Pedro Acosta ends up in third. Vinales ended up crashing out late. Binder is fourth. So of those KTM factory bikes, and keep in mind, Pedro Acosta races for the Red Bull GasCast Tech 3 team, which is a KTM. Pedro Acosta, the rookie, ends up on the podium, the third youngest rookie to ever do it in MotoGP history at 19 years old. Then Binder, then Miller. So you have all those KTMs stacked in there. Bezzecchi was sixth, Quartararo was seventh, Aleix in eighth, Miguel Oliveira ninth on the Trackhouse bike. There's a lot of hype about the possibility of him doing well. Unfortunately, top 10's good. It was Trackhouse's first top 10 in their short MotoGP career. DiGiantonio, who's 10th place. That guy is on my fantasy team. I got to get rid of him. Fernandez, 11th. Mir. Was it Mir the first of the Hondas? Yeah, Mir was the first of the Hondas in 12th. Then Rins on the Yamaha, and then Nakagami and Zarco. Marc Marquez, Marini, and Morbidelli finished, but they didn't get any points. All right. So a couple things to note here. Pecco Bagnaia, Marc Marquez get together in the feature length race, and they crash out. Did you get to watch the race?
I did.
Did you think anybody was at fault?
Oof, you have arguments or topic of conversation on both sides of that. I feel it was a racing incident.
Okay, why?
I don't think it was intentional of either one of them.
I mean, look, it's a tough spot to be.
Yeah. Right?
Because if you break down bike by bike,
yeah,
and you go, okay, door was open.
Yeah.
Pecco threw it in there. Earlier in the race, Pecco was on the outside and he lifted. I can't remember who went underneath him, but he lifted.
He did. Yeah.
And Mark leaned in. And it was crazy because you see it from behind and you kind of come up with one solution. You see it from the front and you're like, when Mark's head hit the fairing and you're like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with the race incident as well. I think everybody's so quick to point the finger and blame. But if anything, what you basically have is, look, Gigi Delinha said it the best, okay, who's like the general manager for Ducati Corsa. He was like, look, it's an unfortunate incident. And that's all I'm going to say about the matter, right? Like, what are you going to do? You have two world champions that are going after the same piece of pavement. Mark didn't want to lift. They collide. They both go down. It sucks for them. It sucks for my fantasy league. I had Bagnaia. The Vinales thing was really interesting because Vinales comes across the line. There was one lap to go. And what's so interesting to me is that the commentators are just speculating out their ass about what they think is going to happen. But yet I clearly saw Vinales stick his leg out like he was having a problem.
Okay.
I guess if you don't ride, like these guys, I don't think they've raced that much anymore or ever have. I don't really know. But it's really interesting. Like the way that happened, for sure he didn't think it was the last lap. Like that was the speculation. Like, no, he comes across the line. Something goes wrong. He sticks his leg out. I see him working the shifter pretty hard.
Okay.
Goes off the track. And then obviously the thing just spit him out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
clearly it was something to do with the transmission. Like it clunked down into a gear that was way too short and spit him off the bike.
Mm.
So what we find out later was that he was having a hard time shifting the thing into sixth gear. And then, yeah, he goes off the track and the thing just like engaged in second and spit him over the bars. Oof. And that one hurt. The thing with Vinales, though, Jeff, is that he sits there and he goes, our team needs to do better. They need to work on their reliability. Do you feel that as a rider at his level, and he could just comes off of a win, so we know he's passionate. We know he's Vinales is pumped. It's his first win, you know, in many years.
Right.
Do you think he's got the... You think that's the appropriate thing to do is basically call the team out for the transmission problems?
No, because you said it. It's a team effort, okay? If he goes out there and crashes the bike, are they mad at him? Mm. Yes, is it disappointing? 100%. You want everything to work, you know, perfectly and give you the best opportunity. But, I mean, I think he should have just probably swallowed that one for now and went back and kind of talked to the team about it, you know?
Yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah, I agree with that.
It's tough. You know, it's tough. You're there ready to go and you're ready to do your job, but you know, we make mistakes. They make mistakes. So, you know, you have to take it and kind of move on.
And when you think about Jorge Martin and his effort, I mean, Bastianini had at least two times where he pushed, closed the gap by half a second. And then Martin just answered. Do you think that Jorge Martin was on the limit for the entire race? Or do you think that he was just handling a 1 second lead?
Oof, that's a tough one. I think, I don't even know what he said after, but I think if he got...
Stop licking that pen, I swear. I'm going to shove it down your stupid throat.
Oh my goodness.
Put the pen down. It's put it down. Across the room.
All right, what?
I know you're
JP,
nervous.
JP, stop being nervous. I'm fine.
No, JP will just clear his throat. And
is that what he does? Yeah. I'm going to put this one into the desert.
It's like if you look at the audio waveform, it looks like a tabletop.
Yeah.
Like, it looks just like a tabletop.
Well, he finished 0.8 behind him. I think if he got like, I think within 0.2, he might have dropped the hammer a little more. I think he was managing.
Yeah, I would agree. That's the part distance. That kind of scares me.
Yeah.
Is that if you know, listen, it might be racetrack to racetrack.
Right.
But if Jorge Martin and that 2024 or GP 2024 is that good, then he's able to just literally manage it within tenths of a second.
Mm.
He didn't need to run away. The combo, everybody's on the same tire, Jeff. Everybody's on like a hard front, medium rear tire.
Okay.
So the tire wasn't the issue in terms of like, did I make the right tire choice? The question now becomes, how do I manage this tire? And that's also another question that we had for Pedro Acosta. So Acosta had worked his way into fourth around Pecco Bagnaia, and then Mark caught him when Pecco started to suffer a bit. That's why we knew that the pace was a little too hot for Pecco when he started to fade, that he had to go that speed in fourth place. Because remember, it was Martin, Bastianini, and then Vinales. And then for quite a while, probably three quarters of the race, it was Pecco, or at least half the race.
Okay.
And then Acosta was following him and following him and following him.
Right.
And then finally Acosta got around him and then checked out like within a couple corners.
Wait, didn't Acosta make a move and then like run wide and then he went like back underneath him?
Yeah, like right. The initial move.
Yeah, the initial move.
Yeah, but what's interesting is that Acosta said it was really important for him to follow Pecco. He noticed that Pecco was doing things with his body that Acosta didn't know he should be doing, and he started to incorporate that into his own riding immediately in that race after he saw what Pecco was doing with his body and the way he was shifting it around and using it. And so those are the things that are – that's the one thing about Acosta that shows you that he's super smart. Like – if you are that speed already, you're a rookie, you're at that speed already, and you have the mindfulness to really pay attention to what the person in front of you is doing.
Yeah.
And you could see it too, Jeff. It was a seesaw. Like by the last half of that lap, Pecco initially was getting a couple of bike lengths between him, and then it was like two, three corners in, and Acosta would close back up on him. So it's pretty crazy.
Well, yeah, and if that helps, because MotoGP is tenths of a second and hundredths of a second. So you're right. I mean, him to be on the bike mid-race, making those adjustments, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. So this to us is our first indicator of what's going on. Yamaha is still, I mean, seventh place for Quartararo in the featured, but 20 seconds behind. Keep in mind, both Honda and Yamaha have concessions, and they've already scheduled, I think, their first in-season test. They have more motor allocation. They're allowed to change the motor where the other teams aren't. So don't put the cork in Yamaha just yet, because Quartararo is still an amazing rider. He just needs a weapon to ride with. The concern is still for Honda. You know, Zarco had been their standout, and the fact that he finishes 38 seconds back is a question mark. Luca Marini, who is, you know, got signed on the Repsol Honda team 40 seconds back in the featured length race. So there's a lot of questions yet to be answered in the...
Well, that back half of the of what's going on. Let me ask you a quick question about Trackhouse. Mm-hmm. So they get ninth. How are you feeling about that? Where do you think their potential is going to be? So, you know, he was, you know, 7 seconds, 8 seconds away from, you know, a top five.
Well, I think Miguel, Miguel specifically, if there was a place he was going to shine, it would be there.
Okay.
I know Miguel Oliveira's won 5 races. Mm. He won his last 2. I think both his races that he won in 2021 were in the rain. So I think if you go to a place where he's comfortable and it's raining, I still think Trackhouse has an opportunity. Okay. I think equipment-wise, we know that the Aprilia is capable of winning. It's fast down the straightaway. It handles good with Maverick Vinales in place. So that's always good.
Right. Are they on the same equipment?
They're on virtually the same bike. Okay. So it is more, it's more 2024-ish than the RNF bikes were last year of 2023.
Right. Not taking last year's bike, just changing the livery and go, here you go.
Right. So like what people don't really realize is that Trackhouse, it's kind of a weird arrangement. So those bikes are factory bikes. Like the transporters, the mechanics, everything, from what I understand, they're all Aprilia factory. Trackhouse owns a team. They come in and then they do what Trackhouse does. You know, it's like the promotion, it's the management, it's those types of things. So it's kind of a interesting new business model that they have. So the bikes are good and they're going to continuously be developed alongside the factory bikes, maybe a half a step under. Where Jay, back in the day, or Jeff, back in the day, you got to look at it like if you were a satellite team, your bikes would be as close to the factory bikes the first 2 or 3, normally 3 races of the year. Mm-hmm. And then your bikes stay the same the rest of the year. And the factory bikes continue to develop and get new bits and pieces.
Right, right, right.
So like Colin talked about it when he was on Tech 3 with Yamaha, Colin Edwards, and he would always say like, these first 3, maybe 4 races are my best time to get a result because they're the best the bikes are ever going to be. Now with Trackhouse, that's allegedly not the case. From what we understand, it's going to continue to be updated, maybe one step behind the factory, maybe with the factory, depending on the parts and availability, but they're going to continuously be developed. So there's a lot of potential there. The thing is that, you know, like Miguel Oliveira, who's the leader of those two riders at this point, it's not like his first year on an Aprilia.
Right.
So if he's going to do something, he needs to be a lot closer, you know, but also the jury's out on Vinales, right? Like, is he going to continue this kind of pace? Because in our championship, Jorge Martin now has got 60 points over Binder, who's got 42. Mm. That's already a decent lead. But if you look down at the Aprilias, Aleix Espargaró's got 25 to Vinales' 19. And that of course, is on the back of that DNF, too, from the featured race where Vinales all but had 16 points in the bag.
Right.
So it's early days. We got a lot of racing to go for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But, you know, Aprilia doesn't have concessions. All the riders like the bike a little bit more than the 2023. So we're going to see how that all goes in terms of that.
Definitely fun to watch for sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Moto 2 because Moto 2 was, dude, wicked, wicked awesome. All right. So if we go to the Moto 2 results, let me pull them up here. I had the championship all pulled up and ready to roll. So let's see. Moto 2. It was Aaron Canet who, after 70 times of trying in Moto 2, he finally wins his first race. 5 years in Moto 2. I remember the stat exactly. I think he was 15 times, Jeff, he was in second place. 15 times he was the bridesmaid, and right. he finally gets it done. And Joe Roberts raced his way into second place. Awesome. I mean, it was awesome. He was like back, I think like 10th, maybe even further back than that, and worked his way up. There was a little bit of attrition. So Joe Roberts in second place, 2 seconds behind Kinnett. Manu Gonzalez ends up third, just 6/10 of a second behind Joe Roberts. Fermín Aldeguer, who is, of course, going to Ducati next year to MotoGP, not sure what team, he ends up fourth. And what's so funny, because like everybody or all these people are just like, oh, what a disappointment. The guy signs for Ducati and finishes fourth. Look, everybody relax. He's not a speed up. We're not sure. My boy Ayogura ends up fifth. Garcia sixth. Vietti, Arenas, Ramirez on the other OnlyFans American Racing team in ninth place. In the championship standings right now, after two events, you basically have Joe Roberts at 29 points and Aaron Kinnett at 31. So only 2 points behind. Manu Gonzalez at 27. Garcia with 26. Lopez in fifth, Ayogura, and those are all 1 point. So it literally goes 31 to 29 to 27, 26, 25, 24, 23.
Always good racing in that class. You know that.
Yeah, always good racing.
Always.
I think the biggest thing, Jeff, is that, you know, they've made the big switch from Dunlops to Pirellis. The teams are still trying to figure out the longevity. They're still trying to figure out how to make these tires go distance. But I thought it was a great result. I thought Aaron Kinnett was as passionate as I thought he was going to be. He started wrecking stuff in the like the number one plate. He thanked his grandfathers that have passed, his wife's grandfather that passed. I mean, I don't know. It's nice to see Aaron Kinnett, because look, Aaron Kinnett, listen, you're a tattoo guy. Aaron Kinnett's got tattoos all over the place, including up his neck. And unless one of the Austrian or Italian factories are interested in Aaron Kinnett, the Japanese have basically said a couple of years ago, he'll never get on our teams because he's got neck tattoos.
Right.
You know, and that's a cultural thing. And who knows, maybe times are changing or whatever, but this also could be one of those situations where you uncork the genie, right? Like all of a sudden, Kinnett's now going to go on a winning streak. But what do you think about Kinnett's big win and about Joe Roberts putting it on the podium?
Oh, I love Joe. That's so.
You've seen him out of Chucky when you're
there? Oh yeah. Yeah. I love watching him ride. He's so good. He's so good. So does that mean?
What's the difference between his times at Chucky and yours? Hello, is this thing on?
Yeah, hello, testing. Yeah, he's quite a bit faster. Let's put it that way. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I love watching him ride. Where are we? Oh yeah, Joe is fantastic. Like I said, maybe that'll give him a little confidence too. Not that he needs it, but getting up there on the podium is just different. Just so such a different feeling. Kinnett, yeah, you're right, Greg. You know, of 5 years of getting there, right? Is this going to now just give him that ultimate confidence, like he can do it anything he wants? You know, it's going to be a hard battle, but you're right. I mean, I can see him getting a couple more wins this year for sure.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
World champion finally to live up to it. I mean, look, I got to be honest, man. I just think Joe's got a lot of potential. Something has clicked inside the team as well, and he's there. I don't think this is just kind of one of the – I actually thought, and I said on this podcast, I thought he had the potential to go win at Qatar. He's really good there. He tests well there. He finishes well there. But things just didn't click. So he comes back to a completely different racetrack. I mean, dude, how about those drone shots that really gave you an idea of how much elevation drop there is at Portimao?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, that's the thing you don't get from somebody's cameras, some of the stuff. Even here in the U.S., it's like you can't tell the elevation and the speed on television a lot of times. And that put it in perspective pretty good.
Yeah, that was a really good way, considering two-dimensional.
But yeah.
Yeah, that was good Moto2 stuff. If you're not watching Moto2, you should. And Joe Roberts in his post-race interview just basically said, hey, I'm coming home to COTA in a couple weeks. Buy a ticket.
Yeah.
So hopefully he sold some tickets with his performance, because I think it's going to be really fun to watch him at Circuit of the Americas. Another banger of a race in Moto3. Helgado ends up squeaking away a win over Rueda by 44 hundredths of a second. Ortola ends up back there by 8/10. Then there was a bit of a gap between another couple riders. Alonso, Kelso, and Vire ends up 2 seconds back. So Red Bull, Gas, Tech 3, big weekend for them, man, as a race team with Holgado winning in Moto 3. And of course, you know, their podium finish. And that is Hervé Poncharal, who is one of my favorites in MotoGP all time. Did you get to watch the Moto 3 race at all?
Did not.
Okay. Good race as usual, you know, another nail biter. So if you're not watching it, you should definitely check it out. In terms of that world championship in Moto 3, we're going to keep an eye on that all year long. It's Holgado's got 45 over Alonso at 38 and Ortola at 23. So some work for people to do. If Holgado's going to walk away with this thing, it's going to get pretty boring pretty quickly. All right. So next week, we're going to talk more about Catalunya and World Superbike because JP was there. He arrived on Friday and he was trackside. I think he got there Saturday. Maybe midday Saturday. He was definitely there on Sunday. But in the racing, Jeff, did you get to watch any of the World Superbike stuff?
I did.
Razgat Liaglu.
Oh, yeah.
BMW,
Mr. BMW. Baby.
Yeah, okay. Yep. All right. Settle down there, Mr. BMW. He's got a win by 0.8 seconds over Buliga and Bautista in race number one. Iannone was in fourth. Locatelli in fifth. Lowe's, who was your championship points leader coming into the weekend, in sixth. Petrucci, Agurter, Vandermark, and Gerloff ends up in P12. Mm. And Sam Lowes and Johnny Ray are your riders that retired. When you go to the Super Pole sprint race, right?
Yes.
It was Toprak, Iannone, Bautista, Buliga, Alex Lowes, Vandermark, Petrucci, and our boy Gerloff ended up in 17th.
Mm.
And we move on to race number two. That's where things got a little interesting. It was Bautista, Buliga. And Buliga led for quite a while. He's led a lot of laps. I mean, this guy's for real, man. Nicolò Buliga is, like, serious. But Bautista got around him relatively easily and then just kind of held him at bay for 2 seconds. Toprak ended up in 7 seconds behind in third. Vandermark in fourth. So a 3-4 for BMW. I think that they've shown some big steps, big improvements in the offseason. Petrucci in fifth. Alex Lowes in sixth. Remy Gardner. Jonathan Rea. I believe that's his first point scored of the season, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because he was 13th in Super Pole race. Yeah, they don't pay back to 13th, I don't think. But anyway, so his first points of the season for him. So,
World Superbike is that's really exciting this year, I think.
It's really good.
Yeah,
racing
good.
The first laps of race one were just insane, you know? Or sorry, the Super Pole race. The first it was probably 7 laps of the 10 laps in Super Pole were insane.
I mean, right. Not only, you know, is everybody switching seats and seeing how it's going to go with, you know, Toprak, Johnny Ray, you know, Alex Lowes getting that. But it's like the racing itself, you know, if you didn't know what really went on and you just turned it on to watch the racing, it's really good. It's like the podium is different every race. It's great. Really good.
Buliga's leading the world championship, 87 points. Bautista, 75. Lowe's tied with him at 75. Toprak's at 71. Jeff. My younger brother's Jason, by the way. But Alvaro Bautista said before this weekend, I'm probably not a championship favorite after two in a row because they added weight to his bike. You think he's slow playing that one a little bit or what?
He definitely slow playing that one. Come on. You know?
Yeah. It's pretty nuts. Pretty nuts. All right. Well, that's that. The one thing I want to talk about is MotoGP fantasy. Forgot to talk about MotoGP fantasy. Let's get back to fantasy.
Go ahead.
You don't play fantasy.
I do not. No, I do not.
That's a shame.
Is it a shame?
So MotoGP fantasy is fantasy.motogp.com. And we are giving away prizes this year, of course. We might have some more coming at you, but, you know, it's a set of Dunlop tires for the winner and a Narai helmet, and then set of Dunlop tires for second and Dunlop tires for third. Initially, what we had done first time, Jeff, is we gave away, Q5s for first and second, and then Q5 pluses for third. But what ended up happening was the people that finished second and third were like, one of them was like, hey, I don't have a street bike. Can I get dirt bike tires? We're like, sure, no problem. And then the person who was third was like, hey, I have a track day bike. Can I get the Q5s? And So we mess around with it a little bit. So it's not like set in stone, but that's kind of the idea of what we're doing. Q5s and Q5 pluses. All right. So let's talk about our results here. Speed Freak leads the way.
I love these names. I love some of these names. You know, it is.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. They're really good.
Greg's Donut Hole.
What?
Something. Is that one of the names?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. So Speed Freak leading the way with 327.5 points and using one turbo. Dude, I'm all the way back in 259th place.
Did you drop? Did you drop or did you climb
like
a little bit?
Stone, dude. Like a stone. So Moto Neal in second place. Trident Cycles in third. E. Lorenzo wins in fourth place. Dub in five. That's not me. Whoever Dub is, it's just not G Dub. It's just Dub.
Dub.
Dub's in fifth place. Just, yeah. I mean, the team to get right now would have been the Gas team. But you can join us, Greg's Garage Pod, with Jason Pridmore. And right now we have 341 people. Make sure if you join our league late, if you're playing MotoGP and you're just hearing about it and you're like, oh, all I can do is join because you can, make sure when you join the league that you select like beginning from the first race of the year. Okay. Because that way your points will be accumulated in our league. If not, then you're going to miss those first couple races if you're in. So you got to join us.
Yeah, I really do. Sounds like you guys do have a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Yeah. Like for me, you have gold riders and you have silver riders. Gold riders pay maximum points, like the same points they earn. Silver riders, basically their points they earn it cut in half. And then you have a constructor and a team. I ended up picking VR46 as a team. That's not really panning out for me that much. Ducati is, but I have Pecco who crashed. I have Digi Antonio who was like 10th.
You switch him every week. You get to pick. You get
to sometimes it. I feel good about my team. I thought I did. The problem was I wanted to move Pedro Acosta, who I have as a silver rider, into gold, and I didn't. So whatever points Pedro Acosta earned, which isn't just 16 points for third, because it's his qualifying position, plus you get some bonus points if your rider like advances through the, so if they qualify like 10th but end up winning the race, you get more points than just 25.
Okay, I understand. So, but the real
I left him as silver, so I'm screwed.
But the real question is, what can I do about fantasy archery? Is that a thing? Can I just put all my dollars on you for fantasy archery? No? Hit the apple off the top of the head type of thing,
Apple top. No, make sure you join us, fantasy.motogp.com. I don't even know how you do fantasy archery.
Ooh, he pulls the string back and he lets it go. Ooh, we hit the target. Perfect.
Yeah. No, the problem is that you never know who's going to be in the finals. So I don't even know how you do it. MotoGP.
All right, don't put too much thought into it. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
I have a bunch of guys in Chuck Waller that want to do fantasy archery. Lee out there really wants to do it. So we have to figure it out. Yeah.
All right. We'll get it all. Well, yeah. We'll go dog 100%.
Yeah. We'll get it again. Fantasy archery.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Stupid. All right. Look, there's more stuff going on. Of course, Supercross happened.
Oh, talk to me.
You didn't watch any Supercross.
No, we usually have Supercross up at the TVs in Garage Ocho, but this week I did not watch. So
how long were you there last time?
10 days.
How many days in the hospital?
Zero, by the way. Oh, okay, 0 days. Okay.
All right.
3 hours to the airport, a red eye flight home, 2 hours home. Yeah. Yeah. I'm good.
Yeah. Then to the doctor.
Oh, yeah, then to the doctor days later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
By the way, you got 3 broken ribs or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
So Supercross, they were in Seattle, Washington. Cooper Webb ends up winning the thing over Chase Sexton, Jet Lawrence. Plessinger, who I thought, because it was like kind of raining out there and stuff, and I thought he was going to win the thing 4th. Kenny Roczen, Eli Tomac in 6th, Hunter Lawrence in 7th place. That brings our points championship, 230 points now. Mm. For Jet Lawrence, Cooper Webb is able to get back 5 points on him. So 214, 16-point difference right there. That's just one person fall off. They still have, 6 rounds to go. They go St. Louis. Then they go to Foxborough. You heard of it, Jeff?
Oh, love the Foxborough. Yeah. Where's my car keys?
Dude.
Donkeys.
Donkeys. Going Let's run down donkeys. To the packy, grab ourselves some beer, head off to the Pats game. You know what I'm talking about, kid?
We love Brady. Go, Brady. Go, Tom.
Go, Tom, Brady. Throw it to Welka.
All right.
Then Nashville.
There you go. Nashville. Okay.
They're going to Philadelphia, Denver, and then they're going to wrap things up in Salt Lake City. Just so you know.
Thank you.
On the 250 side, it was Levi Kitchen with a big W over RJ Hampshire. My boy Joe Shimoda.
Shimoda.
In third. March Banks, Carson Mumford. So looking at your West Coast 250 battle, it's 131 points for Levi Kitchen out of Washougal, Washington. That's a great track, dude. I was at Washougal 1 year. I want to say it was 15 or 16 for pro motocross.
Mm.
It rained the entire time, and they still brought out like 30,000 people. Just stood in the rain all day long.
Hardcore.
Cash machine. Nice. RJ Hampshire's got 123. Jordan Smith at 110. They, in the West Coast, they still have four rounds left. So they're going to race St. Louis, Nashville, Denver, and then Salt Lake City. So
sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Looking at Supercross Fantasy, which I know you don't do. I ended up, unfortunately, I didn't get my picks in. I was working and I didn't get my, mm-hmm. like the picks. The thing is about this particular league is we, like if you don't get your picks in, they're your picks from last weekend roll over.
Right. So you don't, you're not totally out. So if you, right. So if you missed your picks and you picked whatever, whoever it might be, you could still gain some points that week, even you didn't even look at it. Got it.
But let me tell you what the problem is. Okay. Yeah. I went from fifth in the Greg's Garage Pod with Jason. This is on RM Fantasy, SMX.com. I went from fifth place pretty far ahead of Simon Barrett, your boy.
I was just going to mention that. Yeah.
I slid all the way to 14th now, just 3 points ahead of Simon. And worst of all, JP43 is only 5 points behind us in 16th.
The original JP43?
Yeah.
Wow. The original. Wow. Yeah.
I think, unless it's, I'm pretty sure. So unfortunately,
you guys are all
I'm just ahead of Simon and JP. I've got to pay attention, but.
Simon doesn't care. Simon won't care. As long as he beats you and you guys finish 25th place, Simon won't care. As long as he beats Greg White.
Yeah, I know. Cody Wyman, he only scored 15 points last week. So his huge lead has been cut a little bit, but he's still got a 20-point lead now over Big Boar Short Stroke.
But Cody's leading the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Nice.
Yep, 20 points. Ye Olde Speed Channel, good old Tom.
Mm.
50 points last week. Zion 209, which is Chris. 37 good points in fourth place. Aaron Durant, friend of mine's brother.
Okay.
Still holding on right there in fifth place. JP steals Greg's donuts in
seventh. Oh, there it is. Love that guy.
Yep. Club 220, David in sixth place. So, yeah, I gotta get some work done, man. And
pay attention.
We belong to this, like, Uncle Skip's League thing, and I was second place, and I've drifted down to fifth after last weekend. Just
well, you can make a comeback.
You could do it. 15 points, bro. It was miserable.
Anyway. Is there a max points in that? Is it like 50 points is max or
125? I think is the max.
It's a max you can actually get for one weekend. Mm. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's on next week, Jeff? You know,
what's on next week?
Yeah. How many doctor's visits? So next week, no MotoGP, no MotoAmerica, no World Superbike,
no
Supercross.
Supercross and. I'm not heading to the track next week either. No track for me. And
you need to stay home and heal up is what you
need.
Yeah,
I know. I will.
But the good news is JP will be back next week. He'll be back from Europe. He'll be talking about World Superbike, Catalunya, the things that he saw, the people he got to speak with. And he's going to have four track days of Aragon. So he starts tomorrow morning.
Mm.
So he's got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I believe he said that there's a possibility Saturday, I think, is going to be some rain. But to be honest, if I have 4 days of track day and I have a bike.
Yeah, you need that little break. It's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, no, I'd love to put reins on. If they have rain tires, I'd love to. It's a MotoGP track, right? So, I mean, you know that there's got to be decent grip in the rain. At least I would hope so.
True.
If it was raining and I was there, I'd be like, let's go.
Yeah.
I wish it would be the last day or the first day because the one thing I can't stand is getting up in the morning, dude, and putting on wet leathers like that are cold and stuff. It's the worst.
Brutal.
Yeah. Hey, did you ding your eye helmet when you wadded yourself up?
I did. Mm. I did. So luckily, I do have a spare. So,
okay.
Yep.
Aren't new you pair of gloves. Aren't you sponsored? Aren't you like Super Track Day guy that's sponsored by RI anyway?
Yeah, let's talk to Jeff about that. I think I am. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Factory Track Day guy.
And now, you know. This is like, how many is this? This number two for you?
Number two what?
Greg's Garage Pod with Jason.
Yes, number two. Yes. Yeah, just waiting for the next one.
Okay. Well, look, Pridmore usually says goodbye on the way out, so why don't you say goodbye on the way out this time?
I just want to thank everybody in Garage Ocho, Richie and Corey, for a great season. And trying to make those guys proud out there. And my boy Ross, who actually won the races from Garage Ocho. And thanks for listening, everybody. And hopefully I'll see you again real soon.